Man, and praise the Lord, that's a good song. Have you any room for Jesus? Good. Psalm 94, I want to talk to you this morning about the thoughts of man. Verse 11, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man. Father, I pray that you will speak to our hearts today. Thank you for the good music. Thank you for everyone who's here. Help us to realize we're not here by accident. God, you've gathered us together today. And Lord, you want to speak to us, and I pray that we'll listen, and I pray that we'll be different because of today, for it's in Jesus' name I pray, amen. The Bible here in Psalm 94, as I read this over and over again, I kept thinking this sure sounds like the United States. If you read it, it sounds like our day, it sounds like now, it sounds like somewhat of a description of some of the things that are going on in our world. He starts out, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Have you found yourself, as you watch things taking place in our world, as you watch things taking place right here, do you find yourself saying, God, I wish you'd just show yourself? Talked about this in the Sunday school class, and we're in 2 Thessalonians and talking about Jesus being revealed. And of course, during the tribulation, there will be a time he'll be revealed, and certainly God's power will be seen very, very clearly. But I like this as the psalmist again recognizes the worldly influence and satanic influence in the world, and how God, we want you to just show yourself. And then he says, verse 2, lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. By the way, it's not a good reward. Not a good reward. But it is what's deserved. And he says, God, deal with these things. Verse 3, Lord, how long shall the wicked triumph? Do you find yourself ever asking that question? You find yourself in our world today ever asking, how long can this go on? I scratch my head many times and say, I really am curious how long it can go like it's going. And then it goes on and really gives a good description. How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? That's our world today. That is our world. If you watch the news, if you hear the rantings of those who are opposed to what we believe, their boasting is, it's becoming very loud. How long is God going to let that happen? How long, Lord, are you going to let them speak these things? Verse 5, they break in pieces thy people. And I realize here in America, we may think we have some persecution. We have nothing compared to Christians in other parts of the world. They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. And again, as I mentioned to our Sunday school class, we're not guaranteed being free of persecution. And we're seeing things in our country. We're seeing some direction of our leaders that certainly for the Christian could spell persecution. It says they slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. Of course, we've seen the innocent dying all around us ever since abortion became legal. And we've watched innocent people die. I believe we will see more and more. Certainly it was true in this day. And the question comes up with all these things going on. Verse 7, yet they say the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. In other words, is God blind? No. God sees it all. God's watching it all. God knows what's going on. Certainly God is not blind. And then verses 8 to 11 is where I get the text. Understand ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? And here's the answer to the question, doesn't God see? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? I mean, God made your ear. God made it exactly how it is and how it works and how it works perfectly. The question, he that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? God made your eye. God knows all about the eye. He knows about eyes. He sees what's going on. He that chastiseth the heathen, shall not he correct? Oh, he's going to. He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? I mean, God gives us any knowledge that we may have, and it's so little compared to God. I mean, the God who taught us what we know. The God who taught us, I mean, man thinks man is so smart, but God taught us. The God who taught us, shall not he know? Yeah, he knows what's going on. And then verse 11, our text. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man. God not only sees what's going on, God not only hears what's going on, He knows what's on that internet site. He knows what's on those blogs about Him. He knows about all that. He knows the plans and the minds involved in and the words that are said about Christianity and how He knows those who want everybody to believe that we are the biggest threat to the world. Unbelievable, isn't it? He knows about all that. He knows not only what they talk about and what they write about and all the things that they say. He not only knows that, He knows what they're thinking. He knows what they're thinking. And my friend, He knows what you and I are thinking. He knows the thoughts of man. And here's what He thinks about those thoughts. They're vanity. They're vanity. They're vanity. What do you mean? He knows what our thoughts are. And He says about our thoughts, they're vanity. He knows the thoughts of our enemies. He knows the thoughts of us. You know, before the flood of Noah's Ark fame, the Bible says every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That was man's thought. How'd God know that? Because He knew their thoughts. I mean, and then God sent a flood. The thoughts of mankind, God saw the thoughts, God heard the thoughts, God knew the thoughts, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and God saw that. Genesis 6:5. God knew that. And the psalmist says about how God knows our thoughts, and he says, you know what? To God, they're just vanity. They're empty. They're wasted. They lead us to a lot of trouble. And you know what? So many of us have problems with our thoughts. Here, certainly, this world, the world the psalmist talks about, it didn't become that overnight. It came that because people started thinking wrong. Our nation and some of the problems we're seeing today, it did not just happen overnight. It happened because people started thinking wrong. And the truth of the matter is, all over this room today, there are folks that have problems and troubles and everything, and it all started right here. And biblically, it all started right here. Our hearts. And we started to think wrong. You know what the Bible says in Proverbs 23 and verse 7? It says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know what you think, and the truth of the matter is, nobody can see that. Nobody, aren't you glad? Praise God. But the truth is, everybody here, you know what you are, and you know how you are, because you know what you think about. You just don't want to admit, perhaps, God says that's what we are. We may come to church and everything look good on the outside, and people say, wow, what a godly person, what a good person that is, and everything else. But see, we know what's really going on, because we know what our thoughts are. I guarantee, a crowd this large, there's thoughts that are very wrong here today. If all of a sudden we were able to somehow show everybody's thoughts, it'd be very embarrassing. Some folks would have to walk out because they'd be so embarrassed because of what their thoughts are. That's what God's talking about. But the truth of the matter is, whatever was being thought is what was going to become the way it was. Why is it that as he thinketh in his heart, so is he? Well, it's that way because once you think it, you're just one step from doing it. You say, oh, I thought about killing that person. I wouldn't think about that too long. Well, I thought about stealing this thing. I wouldn't think about it too long because the first time you think about it, you're just one step away from doing it. You say, well, I thought about, I'll show them, and I thought of different ways to hurt them. You shouldn't think about different ways to do sinful things like that because you're just one step away. And our thoughts are getting us in trouble. Just like the thoughts in David's time, they got him in trouble. Just like man's thoughts have always got him in trouble. In fact, man's thoughts, God sums it all up, just says, you know what, they're vanity. Your thoughts, they're empty often, they're wasted, and they're heading, they're leading you into trouble. And that's why the psalmist wrote Psalm 139, verse 23. Look there, Psalm 139, verse 23. And many have this memorized. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Now honestly, as a Christian, this morning, if you're saved, and most of the folks here today are saved, why couldn't you say, God, search my heart and my thoughts this morning? Try me. Put my thoughts on trial, God. Put what I think on, not how you look today. Boy, you're looking sharp. Got your tie, your suit, nice dress. Boy, you're looking good today. Combed your hair. Amen. I didn't comb mine. Well, but oh, you're looking so good today. No. God, I want you to look in my heart today. God, put my thoughts on trial today. Some of you say, yeah, preacher, there's no way I would do that. But isn't that really what we should do? Because that's what gets us in. And whether we do or not, God knows the thoughts of man. The thoughts of man. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. The only way to rescue our thoughts from vanity, emptiness, and waste is to let God search us and deal with our thoughts. You know, We are so prone to, well, I haven't done anything wrong, but you think wrong. Well, I haven't done anything. What you mean is you haven't got caught. But the truth of the matter is God sees our thoughts. And when you think it, you're just one step from doing it. Let me give you some vain thoughts of man this morning as we consider the fact the Lord knoweth the thoughts. Man, this is how God sees us. We look at each other and we see each other. Wow, boy, there's a good person. Boy, that's a good. And many are. I'm not saying that we're not. I'm just saying this. God sees and knows our thoughts. Let me give you some vain thoughts of man. Number one is disobedient thoughts. Disobedient thoughts. Go to Matthew 15. Keep your place here in the book of Psalms. But Matthew 15. Here's some disobedient thoughts. Matthew 15, verse 19. For out of the heart proceed, notice what it says, evil thoughts. We've been talking about evil on Wednesday nights. Talked about the evil person for a little over a month. And out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. What is evil? Evil is trying to hurt other people, trying to hurt them, and with the idea of it being a pleasing thing to me. And I don't know how anybody can be pleased at hurting somebody else, how they can get any delight out of hurting another person. And yet God says that comes right out of your heart. They're evil thoughts. But notice the list that this thing is in. Notice these evil thoughts. They're in the list of murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemies. I mean, what a list to be involved in. These are disobedient thoughts. These are thoughts that cross our mind that God says, I told you, don't do those things. Or I told you, those are going to hurt you. Or I told you, this is sin in my eyes. These are disobedient thoughts. These are thoughts that go through our mind that we ought not do. I mean, if you've ever contemplated, even thought through, well, I'd like to kill that person. Do you understand? God said that's disobedient. God says, thou shalt not kill. And the idea there is not murdering another person. You know, you say, well, but it'd be a good thing. No, it's not a good thing for you to even think about those things. Murder, adulteries, same thing. Do you know Jesus said that if a man looks at a woman wanting desiring to commit adultery with her? He did. That's called the Baptist silence. Yeah, he committed adultery with her. That's right. So, ma'am, if you dress like you want to commit adultery, and he looks at you like he wants to commit adultery, then you just did. But that's how God sees it. Of course, nobody else sees it, and everything's squeaky clean as far as everybody else is concerned. But that's how God sees it. Whew. Thoughts that are disobedient to God's Word. And I'm talking about this list here and many others. They're against God. They're against His Word. But it all starts right here. It starts when we think about it. Look, if you will, at 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. Here's what we need to do with those kinds of thoughts. Let's start at verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down, what's that word? Imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Bringing into captivity our thoughts. So we don't think of adultery. So we don't think of fornication. So we don't think of murder. So we don't think of stealing. So we don't think, because if you think, you're one step from doing it. And we need to bring those into captivity. It is a battle that you need to win. Because you say, but nobody knows. And there's, I guarantee, in a church, in a group this large, there's somebody, those thoughts are in your mind right now, and it just is constant. And it's like the preacher's up there, but I'm thinking about something totally different. And it's wrong, and it's disobeying God. And God says, you need to bring your thoughts to my obedience. You need to obey me with your thoughts. We all think that's kind of a private thing. Like, I can think this, it's no big deal. It is a big deal. It is disobeying God. It is a disobedient thought. And we need to bring them into captivity to the Lord. We need to get control over those thoughts. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. You say, preacher, this sounds kind of like a Sunday night message on Sunday morning. That's because I don't get to preach on Sunday nights anymore, it seems like. We have all these tour groups coming and everything, and so I don't know. Anyway, Proverbs 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart. Now that idea of keeping. Jailers in the Bible were known as keepers. Okay, they're guards. Keep thy heart. Guard it. Guard it. How? With all diligence. What are you talking about? Not casually. Guard it. We have a guard for the castle. Yeah. Oh, yeah, and he's going to be guarding the castle all week this week and next week. And boy, it's a serious matter. Why? Because the devil's trying to get in. That's why. Are you listening? You say, oh, that's all cute for Vacation Bible. That's your life. Hey, your heart should have walls built around it, and you should guard that thing. But we're so casual about it. We turn on the TV, don't think anything about it. We let cussing and swearing, and you wonder why you think those cuss words. Come on, stay with me now, folks. I know it's Sunday morning. It's okay. Huh? I mean, we think cuss words. Why do we do that? You know, when I got saved, I was terrified. The first time I got up and gave a testimony, I thought I was going to cuss the people out. Because that was my language before I got saved. But God cleaned up my mouth. Amen? And praise God for that. But I'll be honest with you. If I was around cussing a lot, it scares me what I might say. It scares me what I might think. But you think those things all the time. You know? It's in your mind. Why is that? Because it's on your television set. It's on the crowd you run with. I mean, you hear it constantly. And you know, God is so clear about the Scripture. Guard your heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Why? for out of it are the issues of life. Yeah, everything. It's in your heart and it goes through your thought process. Everything you and I do. That's why we need to guard it. He says, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee not only your own words, but stay away from people who use wrong words. He says, let thine eyes look right on and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. I mean, keep your eyes fastened on that which is right and that which is good. We're so casual about it. That's why we can't think right. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. In other words, ponder. What's that mean? Think about where you're going before you go. But again, we're not guarding our heart. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Yeah. You know, avoid sinful things. Don't listen to sinful things. Don't look at sinful things. Here's what Job said. He said, I made a covenant with my eyes. What's that mean? He said, I made a promise to my eyes. I'm not going to look on the wrong things. Why then should I think of a maid? That's what the Bible says. I made a covenant. I made a covenant. Some of you need, you know, honestly, it's why you think the way you think. It's why you can't look a woman in the eyes. Hello? That's right. Disobedient thoughts. By the way, David, his eyes led him to the most terrible loss that a man could ever imagine because he saw Bathsheba bathing. And it led him into thoughts of adultery, which he committed, and then thoughts of murder, which he committed. Achan saw, he saw, and he took, and he hid, but God knew. Lot saw the well-watered plain of Sodom, and he lost everything. I'm just saying. The song we have our kids sing, we say, oh, that's so cute. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Hello? Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. That's what God's saying here. We say, oh, the kids are so cute. You know, adults, you might want to learn that song. Teenagers, you need to learn that song. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Because disobedient thoughts are exactly where the devil wants you to be. Disobeying God. Well, I do pretty much. I do right. But your mind, it's not right. Your thinking is not right. Disobedient thoughts. Number two, doubtful thoughts. Look at Philippians 4:9. I give this verse out in counseling over and over and over. I don't know how many folks, even now, have this verse written down. I've given it to them to try to help them. Philippians 4 and verse 9. He says this, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. And usually I give this with verses 7, 8, and 9, all three together, talking about God's peace and helping with thought life. But here's what I'm concerned about. And verse 9 deals with this. These doubtful thoughts that Satan puts upon us and plants in our mind. Doubtful thoughts. Here's what God says. God says, hey, the things you learned when you were in 2- and 3-year-old Sunday school, the things you learned in 4- and 5-year-old junior church, the things you learned in 1st through 3rd grade primary church, and then 4th through 6th grade junior church, the things you learned when you were in junior high and when you were a teenager and as you grew up, and the things you learned as a young married couple in church, and the things you heard and the things you went to the altar, the things you learned in camp and at the conference, and the things you learned, he said, those are the things. Those things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Those things. And boy, I'll tell you what, there's always some little snake in the grass that comes along and says, they don't know what they're talking about. Your parents don't know what they're talking about. Your preacher didn't know what he was talking about. That Sunday school teacher years ago didn't know what they were talking about. That preacher at camp didn't know what they were talking about. And all of a sudden, your mind is filled with doubt. Doubtful thoughts. You heard, you learned, you've seen in me, you saw it in others, you believed it, you sat, you watched. Now do those things. Stick with what you believed when you were right with God. Yeah, stick with what was right then. Satan is always trying to get us to doubt, and especially to doubt God and His Word. It starts in the book of Genesis. Yea, hath God said? You can't really believe God said that. Come on, Eve. What's wrong with you? And there's folks right here, crowd this large. You have lots of doubtful thoughts.
I don't know if the preacher's right or not. I don't think he doesn't know what he's talking about.
You know, Luke 12:29 says this, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. The Bible says whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You say, well, you know, I can't help it. My mind is just dwelling on, you know, I don't know if this is right or not. I don't know if Vacation Bible School is true or not. I don't know if it's right if we ought to be bringing these kids in and telling them all this stuff. I mean, it's kind of like they're being brainwashed and you give them candy and stuff. Well, naturally, they're going to come and they don't necessarily mean what they're doing and blah, 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 blah. I'm not supposed to make them mean it. I'm supposed to tell them the truth, period. That's all we're supposed to do. But see, these doubts. Well, you know, I don't know if the bus ministry is really effective or not. You know what? If one person rides on a bus and gets to come to church and they hear the gospel and they get saved, it's worth every penny that goes into it. Everything they can. But see, the doubts start to come. Well, you know, I'm not so sure about Christian education. It's costing a lot. Hey, listen to me. What you need to do is you need to go back to the things that you learned and you saw and you heard from the man of God and you believed and you went at an altar and you got right with God and you were living right. Believe those things. Those are the things you stick with, not the doubtful things. Doubtful thoughts, doubting God, doubting His Word, doubting doctrine because there's some new doctrine out there. You know, it's always going to be that way. Doubting the old King James Bible because something else is out there. You know, well, I like this. This makes me tingle. This makes me feel good. Doubting the old-fashioned music, the old hymn book kind of music, singing about the blood. Well, you know, that's outdated. No, it's not outdated because the blood's eternal, praise God. And the truth of the blood, you better thank God it is. Neither be ye of a doubtful mind. Hebrews 3:12 says this, having an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Because that's what happens if you dwell on doubtful things enough. Won't be long, you'll be out of church. Like folks are this morning. They used to sit here. They used to be here. They used to be maybe up on a platform singing. What happens in their mind? They doubt. They doubt something. We need to trust God. Trust Him with these things. Disobedient thoughts. Doubtful thoughts. Number three, deceitful thoughts. Romans 12:3, look at it. Deceitful thoughts. And this gets every one of us in trouble at times where we actually deceive ourselves. Romans 12 and verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Not to think more high. Boy, we somehow can get it in our minds that we are pretty great. Yeah. Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:18, let no man deceive himself. I'll tell you what, that is the biggest deception you can do to yourself is when you start thinking you're pretty great. When we start to think, we sinful people start to think, you know, God sure is privileged to have me. You know, God got a good deal when He got me. No, when He got you, He got the same thing He got with the crooked stick that Moses used. Huh? Well, that stick was nothing. No, but the God of that stick was powerful. just to be able to be used by God. What a privilege, what an honor it is. But we start to buy into secular humanism, which is taught as the religion of the world. Huh? And we start to buy into that junk. Let me tell you something. God is the creator of everything. He spoke, and it was. Man has done nothing. Well, you know, man has evolved out of this and out of that. Man has done nothing but sin against God. And has been nothing but a blight. But God in His mercy loved us and sent His Son to die for us. Do not ever get this idea in your mind that you are something great. Now, again, the best thing about ourselves, and again, to avoid deceiving ourselves. By the way, don't get anything in your mind. Well, I'm a Christian, but I'm no good. That's deceitful too. What do you mean? See the banner? Well, you folks in the front can't. You're a child of the King. Child of the King! By the way, the child of the King just was born. That's it. You know, wow, you're really special. You're the child of the King. Yeah, isn't that wonderful? I had nothing to do with it. I'm a child of the King. Isn't that great? Yeah, don't let the devil kick you. Don't let the devil get down on you. Don't get this idea that you're no good because you're the child of the King. I say this over and over and over again. Not too high, not too low, no. That's how we should think about ourselves. Not too high, not too low, no. What do you mean? Don't think about yourself. Not high, not low. Just quit thinking about you. Think about somebody else. Think about Jesus. Forget us. That's the best way for you to live. Huh? Yeah. I mean, the mind of Christ, Philippians 2. Look at it. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Philippians 2, verse 3. You know the passage. Powerful passage. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's the kind of mind right there. Not a deceitful thought of, oh, I'm God's gift to mankind. Or not a deceitful thought of, I'm no good. The right thought of, I'm going to think about others and Jesus and forget myself. Number four, destructive thoughts. 1 Timothy 6, verse 4. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 4. Destructive thoughts. 1 Timothy 6, 4, it says, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings. There it is. Evil surmising, destructive thoughts. Evil surmisings. Is that in your mind? It is in a lot of folks' minds, honestly. It's just constantly looking at people, wondering what they're up to, and surmising how wicked they are. Surmising every move, surmising every motive, surmising everything about those people. In your mind, you think the worst of everybody. By the way, it does come out of your mouth. It might come out as gossip. It might come out to somebody's face. But yeah, it's destructive thoughts. Thoughts of destruction. Joseph with his brothers, we all know the story. But here's what Joseph said about it. He said, ye thought evil. Yeah, they did, didn't they? They did think evil. They thought, we want to kill our brother. Ye thought evil. Ye thought evil. Joseph said, I know what you were thinking. How did he know what they were thinking? Because they carried it out. That's how he knew what they were thinking. You know what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13? It says, love thinketh no evil. That's love. That's agape. Love thinketh no evil. Now, honestly, God, search my heart. Know my thoughts. Okay, God, right now, look at me. Look at my heart. Look at my mind. God, am I thinking evil about anybody? And all of a sudden, there's a list. There's one. There's one. There's one. There's one. There's one. There's one. It's time to get it out of your thoughts. Destructive thoughts. Do you know that's where gossip comes from? You don't say it on the telephone until you first thought it. You sat in church and you dwelled on it. You sat at home and you thought about it and you dwelled on it. You read that letter and you just kept thinking about it. It just takes over your life. Do you understand? That's where bitterness comes from. Yeah, and you just, you know, this kind of thinking, it leads to bitterness. All because you thought destructive thoughts. And I promise you this, Satan, he'll fuel that fire every chance he can. And the last thing, number five, is discouraging thoughts. Go to Hebrews 12 and verse 3. Hebrews 12 and verse 3. Discouraging thoughts. So many here in this room. You allow those discouraging thoughts. You say, well, I just can't do anything about that. Hebrews 12 and verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Because if you faint in your mind, you're just a step away from fainting in your life. Consider him, who? Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him. Consider him, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Discouraging thoughts. Discouraging thoughts. You say, but I've got a lot of discouragement. Okay, think about Jesus. Okay, have your own private, not necessarily with all the elements, but have your own private little communion time. This do in remembrance of me. And just stop and think about Jesus hanging on the cross. Think about his back and his flesh that's been whipped with the cat of nine tails, literally peeling the skin. Think about what he went through. Think about the fists that beat him in the face and beat his body and they nailed him to a cross. Think about Jesus. He endured the cross. Think about that. You say, I'm about to faint. Think of Jesus. Think of Jesus. I don't know how many times, you know, well, did you stop and think about Jesus? Oh, that won't work. What do you mean it won't work? It's what God says to do. Stop. Read your Bible. Read the Scripture. Stop and think about Jesus. He endured the cross. You know, you and I endure some things. I've gone through some tough times. But I've never gone through anything like the cross. I'll be honest with you. I've never had that happen to me. Never. Not even close. Think about Jesus. Real quick. Psalm 104, verse 34. Psalm 104. Verse 34. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. See, that's what we ought to meditate on. Psalm 143, verse 5. Psalm 143 and verse 5. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. Well, that'll change your life. Amen. Amen. Back to Philippians 4. Philippians 4 and that passage that we talked about. What do I think about? Think on these things. Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, Good report, good report. Why is it we're always wanting the bad report? I went to the store. I very seldom go to the store. I'm dangerous in a store. But I went to the store the other day, and here's this lady, you know, with her National Enquirer, and I think, why would you want to waste your time on all that junk? First of all, most of it's not true. Second of all, it's all bad. You know what? That's why people read it, because it's bad. Good report. No wonder you're discouraged. Hello? I mean, seriously, that's why you're so discouraged. Think on these things. That's what you think on. Good things. Good report. Somebody says, oh, so-and-so, they're just always negative. You know why they're negative? Because that's what they think. I close. Psalm 19, verse 14. Book of Psalms, chapter 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You say, well, preacher, as I think about this, my thoughts, the meditation of my heart, it's really not acceptable. That's why we have an altar call, so we can get it right with God. Shouldn't we get right with God over what's in our mind, just like whatever we did? Of course we should. And I'm serious about this. Could you pray that prayer? God, I want what comes out of my mouth and what is in my heart, what I think about, I want it to be acceptable in your sight. What are your thoughts? Because whatever they are, pastor doesn't know them. Sunday school teacher doesn't know them. Deacons don't know them. But you know what? The thoughts of man, God knows the thoughts of man. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around. I wonder if there's someone here today who's never trusted Christ as Savior. If you died right now, you are not sure that you'd go to heaven. You've never trusted Christ as your Savior. You'd say, please, please pray for me. Raise your hand. Anyone like that? Pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. I am not sure I'm going to heaven. Anyone like that? Pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. Pray for me. I do not know I'm going to heaven. I wonder how many would say, preacher, I'm a Christian. I'm already saved, but God has spoken to my heart today about something. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand? All over, just slip it up. Pray for me. Pray for me as a Christian. Pray for me. Father, bless the invitation. And I do pray for anyone who's not saved to get saved today. And I pray for Christians, Lord, that decisions would be made because of our thoughts. And help us, God, to be diligent about our thought life. And when the thought pops in, God, that we would confess it, we'd get right, and we would do our best to get it out. Bless the invitation, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. 306-306, have thine own way. God speak into your heart. That was our last verse. Is it acceptable in His sight? God speak into your heart as we sing on the first verse. If you need to come, you come.
Have thine own way. Thank you.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Any others need to come? Folks are praying. Instruments continue. If God's spoken to your heart today and you need to come, you have a decision to make, something you need to pray about, God knows. He knows our thoughts. Nobody else does. You say, well, I'd go forward, but what would people say? I'd be more concerned with what God says and what He thinks than I would ever be concerned with what any people say or think. Because God knows. God knows every part of it. Everything you think, every thought. Those that come back, those that you dwell on over and over and over again, God knows. The thoughts of man. The thoughts of man. God's summary of it all, it's just vanity. It's empty. It's waste. Amen. Well, look up this way, please. Don't forget, I need to meet with all the ordained men down in my office right away, and that'll just take a few minutes. And then ensemble practice at 5, no choir practice tonight, men's prayer time at 5, and ladies' prayer time at 5, teens are at 5, and I guess that's children's choirs will all meet tonight at 5, then 6 o'clock our evening service. And Brother Nathan Carpenter is going to be preaching tonight. We're looking forward to that. And that'll be good. And praise the Lord for that. All right, Brother Don, would you come and close in prayer, please?
Father, we are thankful that you are interested in our lives and what we do and where we go. Father, we thank you that you are desiring to care for us and to guide us in every step and decision we make. Lord, as we go this week, may we be ever mindful that you are aware of our thoughts. And may we put into practice what we heard this morning and guard our thoughts, our eye gate, our ear gate. Father, the places we go. Being ever mindful that indeed your Holy Spirit indwells us and goes with us. And Father, if there'd be one here in this room this morning that does not have that indwelling spirit, has not yet accepted Christ as their Savior, we pray that they would make that decision before they leave this room this morning. Guide us and direct us, protect us, please. May we be in our place in the next appointed time. Ask in Jesus' name. Amen.